Lecture 41, The Coming of War, 1939.
Neville Chamberlain and Daladier, the other signatories to the Munich Agreement, had averted war in the fall of 1938. Certainly Chamberlain and Daladier had hoped that this would close this period of crisis in European diplomacy, that Hitler had indeed made his last territorial demand in Europe, and that the forthright action on the part of the Allies had thwarted any tendency toward conflict, and that Europe was indeed, that peace had been rescued, and that Europe was indeed on the path to peace. Within a matter of months, however, these hopes proved to be bitter illusions. In this lecture, we're going to examine the aftermath of the Munich Conference, the final months of peace in Europe, as Hitler prepared for the war that he wanted, a war against Poland, for Lebensraum in the East, but a war which took a turn that he had not anticipated. Neville Chamberlain, as we saw, had returned to London in the at the close of the Munich Conference, greeted by throngs, jubilant that war had been averted. Chamberlain saw in the Munich Agreement the apex, the pinnacle of his career, the apex of the policy of appeasement. Daladier, returning to Paris, was also greeted, given a hero's welcome. But with Daladier, one had the sense, and one could see it on the faces in the pictures taken at the Munich Conference, that Chamberlain was enormously pleased with the outcome of the conference, believed in that prim sort of way, way of presenting himself that he had indeed saved the peace. Mussolini looks equally relieved that Italy was not going to be dragged into a war. Hitler looks absolutely radiant, delighted. The world had come to Munich, had come to him, had appeased him. Daladier, on the other hand, has a very sour expression on his face, almost stricken expression, as if he's just seen the future and that events are not going to take a very happy turn. He could hope against hope. In the aftermath of the Munich Conference, several important conclusions were drawn by major figures in Europe. Hitler, for example, concluded that the Western powers would not resist even more aggressive action. The West, he believed, was weak. Now he'd seen them at close range. He'd had several encounters with Chamberlain in the run-up to the Munich Conference. He was more than ever convinced that Western parliamentary democracy was corrupt, that it was vacillating, that it didn't have the stomach for the hard lessons of history, and that in the future, Britain and following Britain, France, would not really stand in the way of his expansionist designs in the East. In addition, the weakness of the Western powers broke the will of the German military resistance to Hitler that had been building for months. Over the course of 1938, prior to the Austrian crisis, a group of generals within the high command of the German army, convinced that Hitler was leading Germany to catastrophe, had begun discussions about the possibility of removing Hitler from power. The Anschluss, coming as it had by peaceful means, had averted this particular crisis, but in the aftermath of the Anschluss, as German troops moved into Austria, all sorts of units wound up in the wrong places. It had been a fiasco. The high command drew the conclusion that had this been a military operation, that even Austria might have been able to inflict at least a temporary defeat on German forces. As the crisis over the Sudetenland heated up over the spring and summer, and the Czechs had mobilized their troops, the German high command, looking at the prospect of an invasion of Czechoslovakia with its strong fortifications in the mountains around in the Sudetenland, in fact, had become convinced that if Hitler actually ordered an invasion of Czechoslovakia, that German forces would be in a very difficult position indeed.